So let us turn to the Word of God, please, to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. And as you're turning to that passage, once again, I want to thank you for your words of welcome and also the invitation that I've received to come and bring God's Word here. It's always a joy to be amongst you, worshiping God together. And also I bring you greetings from Providence Chapel in Cheltenham. It's good to have that unity and that like-mindedness amongst God's people. Well, this portion of God's Word is very instructive. And it is a portion which is historical. The Bible has all sorts of types of matter in it. Here is the historical section of it. These people were real people. And what they said did take place. And there is both internal evidence about this and also external evidence about this. Archaeologists always are finding new things. People who at one time thought that various tribes and various groups did not exist, and they tried to say, look, the Bible is full of mistakes, and they sought to hinder the preaching of the gospel in the 1800s and the 1900s. They have been oftentimes proven to be wrong, and things that they said, well, these tribes did not exist, and then through various ways they were proven to be false and mistaken. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you just from just a few words in verse 58 that we read together. Here is Rebecca's response. Rebecca is asked this question by her family. Are you going to go with this man? Are you going to go now with this man? Or would you want to wait for 10 more days to be with your family? Wilt thou go with this man? They said to him, to her. And she said, I will go. I will go. These are the words of Rebekah, who was soon to become the wife of Isaac. The question is asked, wilt thou go with this man? And the answer is very clear. It is a very forthright answer. I will go. And the remarkable fact is that her response was one major step towards the fulfillment of God's purpose to send Christ into this world. You see, the Bible, all of it is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. On every page you find something related to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, from the beginning, God had promised a Savior would be born through the womb of the Virgin, and that he would come through the line of Abraham. And so God keeps speaking on these things. And through this line of Rebekah and Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And so this is one step towards that fulfillment. Now, 65 years before the event of this chapter, the Lord had appeared to Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees, where he had been living with those who were of the line of Shem. And in his appearance, the call to Abraham, the Lord bid him leave his native land and his people. Go from this place. Come to the place that I have called you to. However, in the process of speaking to Abraham, God revealed that through his servant's seed, he would bless the nations of the earth. All the nations of the world would be blessed. How will they be blessed? Will they be blessed because there would be Jews being scattered throughout the world? No, that is not the case. It is through the person who would be born, through the line of Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It's through who? Jesus Christ. And this message of salvation is in Jesus Christ has gone throughout the world. And all of us here are blessed because of that. This country of ours, it is blessed because of that. And sadly, we are living in days that these truths, the message of Jesus Christ and salvation, the message of the Bible, is being disregarded in this land. Just on Thursday, as we were preaching in the open air in Cheltenham, there was this woman who had her fingers in her ears, and she was pointing to the fact she was not listening. I've never seen that before in the preaching. And she was saying that she wasn't listening. This is not relevant to her. And yet I said to her, and it caused her to stop, I said to her, if you don't want Christianity, if you don't want any of these things, why do you live in a country where these things are the foundations of this land, the building blocks of our society? Why not go to a country where that nothing about God is referred to, and people do not promote these things, that churches do not exist? And people live very inconsistently. There would be people who come into this country as well who try to change the ethos of things. Why do they come to such places? Why don't they go to lands, to countries that those things are promoted? Well, these are the things that many do not think about. And here is the message, right at the beginning of our Bibles, telling us of this man Abraham, whom the Lord called by his grace. He was an idolater. The Lord found him in the backside of the desert, the scripture says, and called him and promised him that through him all the world will be blessed. Through this man who was married, but he was childless, through his offspring, one would be born who would be the Savior. And as more time had passed, the Lord revealed further detail of his promise to Abraham and to his seed. And there is this progressive revelation that continues to be given. And it came to the point that Abraham learned that from his loins, this one would be born to be the Savior. Even the Lord Jesus Christ referred to this in the Gospel according to John and chapter 8 and 56, verse 56. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to Abraham and says that Abraham believed what God showed him. He said to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it. How did he see it? By faith he saw it. He believed in God's promise and said, and was glad. You see, Abraham, this message that one would be born, a Savior would be born, made him glad. Are you made glad to know that Jesus Christ was born? And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In fact, with Abraham, so strong was his faith that Abraham rejoiced in anticipation of the day when Christ would come. And of course, as we have it written in the scriptures, in believing he was justified through the redemptive work that the promised Messiah would perform. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that a person is justified, is made right in the sight of God, and accounted as being right in the sight of God. Are you justified, my friend? Abraham, that old man that we read about in this passage, he was justified by faith in the promise of God, of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be saved. That's the only hope that you and I have. It's not by my good works. It's not by me giving to charity. It is not by me trying to help someone that I do these good works. I've done a good deed for the day and then I am made right in the sight of God. No, none of those things will justify me. None of those things will make me right. It is what Jesus Christ has done that would make us right. And so going back to this passage, from that time in Ur of the Chaldees until there was even the first sign of the fulfillment of the promise that there would be a son born, 25 years passed. Then Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham saw that against all apparent odds, God is faithful And God keeps his word. And following the birth of Isaac, another 40 years rolls away, which brings us to this time in view of this passage. The point had arrived for the next step in the progression of the fulfillment of God's promise. Isaac must be married, which means that a bride must be found. And that is the account, the story of this chapter. And God wonderfully led and provided. The right bride was found. And this young woman's name was Rebecca. Eventually, she and Isaac come together to be husband and wife. So that circumstances were in place for the further fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah. And from all this detail, we learn that this great chapter has very clear gospel significance. We've already noted that the gospel significance in relation to the promise of the Savior to Abraham. We also see, however, from another perspective, in relation to Rebekah's willingness to go to be the bride of Isaac. And in this detail, there's a pointer to the matter of sinners being willing to receive and to take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Are you willing to take hold of the Savior? I will go, she says. I will go. Have you ever said that? I will go to Jesus Christ. I won't go to church merely to become a Christian. Going to church doesn't make us a Christian. As you have heard many times, I'm sure. Going to the mechanic doesn't make you a car or a mechanic. Going to things do not make us those very things. And we cannot go on other people's things. Oh, in some ways, I wish we could. Children do not like to brush their teeth. You wish by your parents brushing their teeth, your teeth would be brushed as well. But that's not the way it is. You must do it yourself. So it's a personal thing. With basic things of life, but also with the most important thing of life, you must go to Christ yourself. And so the preaching of the gospel, it calls us, all of us, myself included, us sinners, to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. It implores us to go willingly to Him and to trust Him and thereby enter into this saving union with Him. And so you in this gathering, I don't know all of you, and I don't know what has been going on in your life. Are you converted? Are you truly a born-again Christian? Where you can say, I am the Lord's. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I know Him. I am His and He is mine. And here we want to take these words of Rebecca very briefly and think about what actually it means. What does it mean? And there are three things I will say. Very quickly, of the willingness to believe the message of the gospel, of the willingness, secondly, to trust the unseen Savior, and thirdly, of the willingness to forsake all for Him. That's what she was saying here. Of the willingness, first of all, to believe the message of the gospel. The willingness to believe the message. In verse 5 that we read together of Genesis 24, the servant whom Abraham sent to find a wife for Isaac focused on the issue of the willingness of the bride-to-be, the prospective bride. He says, what if she won't come? What if she won't be willing? Peradventure, he says, perhaps. Maybe the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Maybe she won't come. What am I going to do? Am I going to take your son there? And so his words are telling us, it indicates that he could anticipate this matter. A problem here. Obstacles here. Those obstacles, those hindrances required willingness on Rebecca's part, willingness, even determination to overcome those problems and those obstacles, to set those problems aside, not to allow those things hinder her in doing the will of God. And you may have all kinds of questions about the Christian faith. You may have all kinds of questions about the Bible even, parts that you don't understand. Don't make those things as an excuse. Don't make those things that has happened to you even, maybe sad things, maybe difficult things. Don't make those things as an excuse to not go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have thought about, it is the willing God that you should seek Christ. It's God's will that you should seek Christ. But in seeking the Lord, in being interested, in being concerned about the matter of your own personal salvation, there are many spiritual struggles. Very often, those struggles concern potential obstacles designed to keep you from Christ. My friends, to the saving of your soul, they must be overcome that you might get to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very first place, you must be willing to believe the message brought to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Savior. Abraham's servant brought to Rebekah a glorious message about the beloved son, Isaac. We didn't have time to read the whole passage, but you can maybe do that this afternoon and read through it and see what actually the servant says. Who is this son? There's, I have my master. He's Abraham. He didn't have a child, but then the Lord blessed him with a miracle child. And then this son has risen, and he's a blessed son. And so he spoke of these things to her and to the family of Rebekah. And this was the message given. Did Rebekah see? Did the family see Isaac? No. But they heard the message. On the basis of that message, she was willing to step out and to go to Isaac. Against what she was told, there was the great obstacle of unbelief. The unbelief, we could apply to ourselves, the unbelief of the sinner's mind. But on her part, she had to act in faith concerning what she was told. And this detail very clearly, very vividly illustrates that sinners will only be saved when in faith they give full assent to the message of the gospel. And not only full assent, it's not just a thing that you will tick the box and say, well, I believe that. And this is the issue with people being brought up in church. We don't doubt things. We don't question things. We believe, yes, the Bible does make sense. This message does make sense. But it's not just about making an assent and say, yes, I believe that. But taking it as yours. And take hold of Jesus Christ and call upon the Lord while he may be found. And trust in him for yourself that he died personally for us sinners. And so the message must be believed. To trust in the Savior. And in the account that revolves around Isaac, there is much to be seen of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message itself. You think about Isaac. You think about Isaac's life and the experience. They were all filled with the miraculous. It is all filled with the supernatural. It's all giving clear pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it. Isaac was the promised son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the promised son. God has given promises of his son to be the one head of a spiritual and large nation or countless company of people. That was the case with Isaac. You can only be saved, my friends, spiritually speaking, taking this passage. You can only be saved from your own sin and guilt and condemnation and hell by identifying with him. You must obey the gospel message that the darkened human mind would reject to seek the Lord Jesus. That's what happens to us. That's what happened to me. When I heard about it, I was very much offended. I don't want that kind of a thing. I'm not that bad. I'm a religious person. I do believe in God. I haven't done anything really bad. Why am I condemned? And so, naturally, we might reject that. But my friends, it's the promised Son, Jesus Christ, that is presented to us here too. And Rebecca had to believe that, trust that. But you think about Isaac too, that of his supernatural birth. God visited his mother Sarah and his father Abraham. And Sarah conceived and she was delivered, and she delivered a son as a result of a miracle. Naturally, she wouldn't be able to bear a child at her age. But God promised and God fulfilled. And God's promised son later on, fulfilling the type Isaac, came into the world through the miracle of the miraculous conception of his humanity through the virgin womb of Mary. He became man, yet ceased not to be God. He remained God, the Son of God. And as the God-man, Jesus Christ was qualified to save and to rescue members of the fallen humanity from sin and death. So that's what we see as well in Isaac. But also Isaac was handed over to a sacrificial death by his father. You remember that account, don't you? It's recorded in Genesis 22. On Mount Moriah, Isaac was offered up as a sacrifice. Even every detail points to where Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary. And there is also a display of God's mighty love. He that spared not his own son, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8. We read that this morning. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's what we find in Isaac. Isaac was given up as a sacrifice by his father to God. And so Jesus Christ was. But also something else. Isaac returned from the place of sacrifice. When he went back, it shows, it's a picture of Christ's resurrection. We read that again in the New Testament. In Hebrews 11, we read, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he's saying basically the fact that Isaac went from the place of sacrifice, went back, it was a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things concerned Isaac, and Rebekah believed all of that. Rebekah trusted in that. She set aside all the natural unbelief of her heart and rested on what was revealed to her and went to trust in Isaac. And we must do the same in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let unbelief, do not let that unbelief hinder you and slow you down from hastening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when will you die? None of us knows. We may not be here tomorrow. I remember some years back, I spoke to a man. He would come and sometimes he would laugh. He would say, oh, you take the Bible too seriously. And no, the Bible is not exactly as it is. And so on. And we loved him. He kept coming every Lord's Day evening. And then one Lord's Day, I was actually coming to preach here. It was about 3 years ago. And I said to him, he said, oh, I'll see you next Sunday. I said, actually, you won't see me next Sunday. And he was a bit taken aback. So, well, how would I not see you next Sunday? So, well, I won't be here. But at the same time, I may not be here next Sunday because I will be in the presence of God. I will die. I don't know my time. And he laughed it off and he said, no. Oh, no, you'll be here when you come back. You won't die. And I said, we don't know. I mentioned his name. I said, we don't know when we will die. And I said to him, and you don't know. You must be prepared to meet God one day.
And he said, oh no, no, I've got many years yet left.
And then a day later, the very next day, he had an accident. He is still in coma after 3 years. And I would go to him and I pray with him. Sadly, his family don't want any kind of spiritual help. And yet he kept coming to church. And I managed to go to hospital to see him. They let me in because they thought I was a doctor. I held his hand and I read the scripture to him. And he held my hand tight. And the doctors wouldn't believe it. They said, oh no, he won't do any. He can't respond to you. He can't even hear you. But he heard me. And I read to him a scripture and I said to him, I mentioned his name and I said, look, these things are true. And he held my hand tighter. And so I hope and pray that the Lord has shown him mercy. But these things are true, my friends. We are talking, we're not playing about these things. It's a matter of life and death that we are talking about. Don't let it be said of you, as Isaiah said, who has believed our report? May not that be fulfilled in you, to say, well, I don't believe the report of God. If you reject these things, the scripture says we will perish. It's not what I say, it is what the Bible says. What the Lord Jesus Christ said. It's recorded in Mark's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ said right at the end, he said, he that believeth and on the account of this is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's a serious thing. Well, let's move on further. There's this willingness to trust in the message. And against all odds, against all the obstacles, believing in the message. But then there is this willingness to trust the unseen Savior. Can you see Jesus Christ? Did she know what Isaac looked like? That actually, he was real. All she had was this message of this servant. She'd never met Isaac. But she had trusted in the unseen Isaac. And the message of the gospel is that we are to trust in the one that we do not see. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like? Oh, people try paint pictures of him, but nobody knows what he looks like. And it would be wrong of us to make any pictures of God. The Bible tells us not to make any images of the deity. But Rebecca was being asked to go to the one whom she had never seen. She must give her love to the one whom she had never set her eyes. But she was willing to do so. I will go, she says. Surrendering to the one who is invisible to her. And the true gospel of God has this same element of truth in it. This matter of fleeing to and trusting in the unseen Christ is a great obstacle to the fallen mind of man. Sinful man's mind is so blind that he must see. And then he trusts. That's why a lot of kind of churches and worship is all to do with touch and taste and what you see and your experience of feeling and so on. But no, this is a matter of faith, to believe what the Lord has said. The entire gospel proclaims an invisible Savior and in a realm that is unseen, in the unseen domain. And those who will be saved on God's term must do so. And those who do so will be saved. In Scripture, we hear these things. For example, again, thinking about different individuals. You think about Moses. How was he converted? The Scripture says this in Hebrews 11 and verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how it was. It's as if he saw the one who is invisible. It's the faith that trusted. In the New Testament Christians, the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, you turned to God from idols. You turned to God who is invisible from your physical idols to serve the living and the true God. it says. They turned from those things that were not real, but they could touch and handle, and they saw, to serve the unseen God. In 1 Peter we read, the Apostle Peter said this, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." However, think about Rebecca. She was given tokens that Isaac was all that she was told about him. There were certain things that she received. That's why you have those pictures of the raiment and the clothing and the gold and the silver and all of those things. And that this is a real man. This is real. And unto him we read that he said, unto Abraham, God has given him all that he had. And in verse 53 we read that the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. So all of these things are telling her that this man is real. And these are tokens from the Lord. And so she sees these things, she trusts, and she says, "I will go." And similarly, my friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, he supplies us sinners with the evidences of his love for us. He has privileged you with seasons of gospel preaching. And you have a chapel like this and churches throughout the land to preach clearly the message of salvation. That's a blessing in itself, to be able to go somewhere and you know there's going to be a faithful message. Not designed to tickle your ears or make you feel happy, but this faithful message that is being preached to you. And God shows you his mercy. God shows you his long suffering. God shows you the riches of his grace, the blessing after blessing in your life. So many good things to enjoy. And he tells you from the Bible of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, having died upon the cross to bear away our sins. The full provision of atonement is told to you in the Bible. Is that pearl of great price? Is that hidden treasure in the Bible? All of these things are tokens from the Lord. And so what should we do in response? We should say, "I will go. I will trust in him. I will trust in the one that I do not see." And finally, there is this willingness to forsake all for him. That's what we see in this word. Imagine, put yourself in the shoes of Rebecca. Then she says, "I will go." What is she saying? She was indicating that to have Isaac as her husband, she will be willing to leave family, friends, home, and indeed everything she will leave behind. She was prepared to sever her links with the old life that she has. She's talking about conversion. A person changing, leaving the old, and becoming new. And the same challenge is in the gospel. Christ will have no part with sin. And he calls on those who will be his to forsake the world of the ungodly, and to follow him, to leave our past life behind, to turn to him. That's repentance. To turn from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will enter into no association with a corrupt world. And those who will be saved must be willing to have done with such. So, this is the thing. Rebecca leaves everything behind. She used to live in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldees, which eventually was the site of the old Babylon. In scripture, Babylon is the world. It's a picture of the world, the ungodly, the corrupt, the things that are opposed to God and to holiness. And out of that, the Lord calls sinners. Out of that, he called me. When I was a pagan, when I was an idol worshiper, he called me out by his grace and pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that with all of us as we hear the message. And my friends, this is what he calls you this morning. This world is destined for destruction. And the Lord says, "Come out, come out. Will you?" So Isaac here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isaac is looking for a bride, and a bride is found. This bride is the one who is made willing. I will go. And so, my friends, I don't know your state of heart this morning. Have you compared yourself? Are you a Rebecca, as it were, to leave the things of this world, the empty and vain things of the world, and the sin that condemns you, to bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, my sins are great. I am unworthy. But Lord, Thou hast given me the promise of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will go. I will go to Him. And so the Scripture speaks about escaping for our life. Friends, we say these things lovingly, but there is a day coming. Peter tells us this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And the Scripture says, you must flee from that. Flee from the wrath to come. Where will you go? Where will you run to? The only place of safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she was willing to go, and she did it immediately. She said, no, I won't wait for another 10 days. I will go now. I will go. And so this is what we are called to do today. Today is the day that you can guarantee you have right now. And now is the accepted time, the apostles say. Now is the day of salvation. Well, here is the picture of Rebecca. And here is the picture of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the promised Son. He is greater than Isaac. And now you are told the message that He is willing to receive sinners like you. Will you go? Will you say, I will go by faith to Him. I will leave this things of this world that I have cherished so much. My ideas, my thoughts. I will leave it because He is precious. And I want Him. Amen. May God bless His word to us. Let us now sing together in closing from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses, the first five verses of Psalm 103. And it is to the tune New Britain. Psalm 103, verses 1 to the end of verse 5. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up His holy name to magnify and bless.